Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk To Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, audience. We have a very, very loyal audience, and we are very thankful for that, and we listen to them. And many of them have commented to us that one of their worst enemies in life is a lack of energy. The thyroid, the major motor... Behind our ability to think and to animate. And our guest today, Elle Russ, is a thyroid expert. She's a voice of reason among the outdated conventional thyroid practices of our misinformed medical doctors of the day. So if foggy thinking, fatigue, stubborn weight gain, or any of those are your issues, stay tuned. Our multi-talented guest may have the answers that you're seeking right after these few announcements. We are coming to you through Blog Talk Radio. Okay, Richard. Richard tells me my volume is not up to where it ought to be. Richard is the co-host here and our producer, and he's coming to us from California. I'm in Ohio at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health. Our sponsor. The Institute is a registered 501c3, and it is probably the largest alternative research center in Ohio. And what we do is stick a microphone in front of someone's face and test their frequencies so that we can see what frequencies are anomalous, like sour notes in a song. Our latest project, we've had two recently. One right now is about lipodema or lipedema, if you're in England. And it's much like Kim Kardashian, where there's a lot of weight in your butt and your thighs. She seems to be in stage one of this, but we're really working with people in stage three to try to find out what's causing them to lay down a lot of adipose tissue in their derriere and upper thighs. The other one that we just did was people who were having affairs and were very remorseful about that, and we found out that they need the frequencies or the actual biochemical of dopamine, and that's why they're always coming out and having a new affair, because that pulls down or drops in the dopamine and makes them feel better. One of the women in the study says that she needs to be with somebody that makes her Twitter-pated. I love that word. I remember it from being in a Disney cartoon, a little mouse said he was very happy and he was Twitter-pated. So we are being sponsored today by our Thyroid Essentials software that allows you to test your own thyroid status from emotions to biochemistry, the genetics, and we'll be giving away a copy of that software from the people who are listening if you'll just write to me or Richard. And my address to Sherry Edwards, Sharry Edwards at gmail.com. And Richard, what is your
talk to me guy, just like it sounds, talk to me guy, all words, at gmail.com.
You have announcements before we start.
I like the way you hesitate slightly because you always like prepare. You know, I could be ranty. I'm going to try and be quick because I really want to get to talking to Elle because she has a lot of information. One of these really fits into this, talking about the totality of toxic load on the thyroid and the immune system in general, as far as I'm concerned. This is the amazing Scott Pruitt. Really stunning. I think he needs a completely different title than head of the Environmental Protection Agency, since he's so far demonstrated he has no interest in protection of the environment. Pruitt says the EPA won't ban chlorpyrifos, I believe is how it's pronounced, which is a bad, I can't use any of those words. I'll just read this quote out of the article. Environmental groups pointed to recent studies showing even minuscule amounts of chlorpyrifos sold by Dow Chemical can interfere with brain development of fetuses, infants, and children. They accused Pruitt of putting the interests of big business over people. So there's that. Just stunning. I mean, just gross and appalling. He threw out the science because he evidently doesn't care or believe in science. At least this is my opinion. Just threw it out and said, nope, go ahead, use that, feel free. The push that Obama had made to start banning chlorpyrifos is just thrown out, and it's, you know, full metal jacket, spray this on everything as much as possible as a pesticide, affecting our water tables, affecting, you know, it's just amazing. So then, another thing, because I'm trying to do this counter of good news, is an article, and I'll put both of these in the show notes at Blog Talk Radio. 6 reasons why Trump will never stop the renewable energy revolution. And this is from my friends at EcoWatch talking about some of the aspects of things that are happening that are sustainable, that are renewable, that are not polluting. And this one in particular is talking about, well, it's a great article because it goes down through solar and other alternative energy producing systems. And one of the points they're making is the solar industry was responsible for creating 1 out of every 50 new jobs in the U.S. last year. And the country's fastest growing occupation is wind turbine technician. More than a quarter, over 260,000 Americans are now employed in the solar industry, more than double the 2010 figures. And as you know from other announcements I've made, that this is happening in India. Currently, India is the largest user or producer of solar power. And we're closing in. You know, it's a trend that this silly idea of making coal mining more like go coal, rather than saying, let's, you know, look at the technology that we have available and go to this, which is what industry and individuals are doing, is they're going toward renewable energies that are, I don't know how else to say renewable. They're renewable. They don't have a downside that we, you know, have seen. We're not doing damage by taking energy from the sun. So that's my good news. It's in this time of stunning EPA, you know, shutdowns and closures and basically shutting down the EPA in any way and just letting industry do whatever they want. I'm heartened to see that we have more renewable energy happening. So those are my announcements.
I'm going to bring in a couple of positive announcements, one I didn't think of until just now. We are going to make available to everyone listening to this show our radiation software that helps people test their thyroid and if they have been exposed. And we've made that free to people. They can go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, go to downloads, radiation. The software download is there. The instruction booklet is there. And there's some charts that Richard helped us put together about if you've been exposed to this particular kind of radiation, this is some of the nutritional issues that can help undo that. So you want to make a comment about that, because I have one other announcement.
Sure. How this came about was right after Fukushima happened. I would say probably within about 7 to 10 days, Sherry had come up with software for testing your vocal print to see if you had elevated levels of certain kinds of radiation, like let's say cesium is the only one that comes to mind now. And so what I would do is I would take a vocal print every morning, meaning a voice recording, and then run it through the software, and it would give me elevated levels of what was going on, or if there were elevated levels. And I live in Northern California, about a half an hour, well, 40 minutes from the coast. So I'm closer to the, you know, the whole Pacific Rim over here, the Pacific Northwest. And I would test myself every morning, and I would see that there was an imbalance, meaning an elevated level of something. And then I would look at the chart that Sherry came up with, this great chart showing food substances or supplements that I could take that would help counterbalance that. So I would take a read in the morning. I would see what was going on. I would take the supplement, and then I would check myself later that after, you know, early that afternoon, and see if that had taken it down or if I needed a little bit more of that. And I did. And I did that every day. And not only did I have the benefit of getting a positive result from it, I also had the stress reduction of knowing that I was able to actually manage something that was happening now and monitor myself and use that chart to say, oh, I need more B5. I need more something. And it was a great thing. And now it's fully evolved into the radiation software. I can't recommend it highly enough.
We put that out as a public service. We also put out a column called Bioacoustically Speaking. It's a keynote, and it warns people of what frequencies are in stress. NASA, a space organization, have been following these frequencies for years. Sunspots, it controls the tides. So if you want to look at that public announcement, it's at our site, thesoundhealthoptions.com, in the news. And I want to bring it up this week because it is going to be bringing you a lot of fatigue if you don't pay attention to your diet. Glutathione, isoleucine, leucine, zinc, hydroxyproline, these are all the minerals and nutrients that are in stress this week. And just to get ahead of the system, mold is coming next week as a frequency that will put you in stress. Richard, do you have any recommendations for people getting rid of mold?
I would say that the first thing I would say is if you even think that you have mold, I highly recommend getting a quality HEPA filter, which is an air filter that filters out fine particulate. And having it at least in the room you sleep in. And I say that partially because that's where you probably spend the most time. It's where your body's resting and trying to repair. And I just think it's a great place to start, is having something to filter the particulate, the mold spores, because mold spores will travel on dust particles. And so if you filter that out of the air, that helps remove the mold. It's not going to take care of the mold issue, but at least it's going to make a space where you can have clean air while your body is resting and repairing. And then the other thing, in terms of actually remediating mold, you can use a chlorine solution, which we'll do a show on this. My preference is to use ozone generators to pump that into the air, because it penetrates into the wood further and kills it more instantaneously. Ozone kills it on contact, blows the cell wall apart and destroys it, versus anything else that's wet or that you apply takes a longer time, takes about a half an hour to maybe an hour, and you end up adding more moisture, and moisture is mold's friend. So sometime we'll do a show on that, but that would be my first thought is, well, on moving air, let me back way up and saying, moving air slowly, it doesn't have to be like giant wind, it just needs to move a small quantity of air through a space, because mold likes to settle, and it's not fond of areas which have moving air. And it probably helps desiccate the air slightly. So, you know, just even a small fan moving the air around, that helps a lot.
Well, because we do these a week ahead of time, they can get a jump on this with an ozone machine or something like that. For the coming week. An audience member just sent me a notice from Joseph Mercola. It says, emails obtained through the Freedom of Information Act shows an Environmental Protection Agency official colluded with Monsanto to manipulate and prevent key investigations into glyphosate cancer-causing potential. I'd like to ask our guest if glyphosate Roundup is affecting their thyroid. If you will introduce her, that would be great.
I'd be happy to. That's a great idea. And welcome to our show. Yeah, we have questions. L. Russ is a writer. Hi. Let me do your bio so they have a slight intro, but you can tell we're already chomping at the bit with questions. L. Russ is a writer, health coach, and host of the Primal Blueprint podcast. L has become the leading voice of thyroid health in the developing evolutionary health movement, also known as paleo, primal, or ancestral health. L has a BA in philosophy from the University of California at Santa Cruz and is the fifth person in the world to become a certified primal health coach. She sits on the advisory board of the Primal Health Coach program created by Mark Sisson, best-selling author of The Primal Blueprint. Originally from Chicago, L lives and plays in Malibu, California. She's joining us today to talk about her new book, The Paleo Thyroid Solution. Good morning, Elle.
Good morning. You guys just started off on a topic I have a lot to say regarding Monsanto and Dow Chemical and Roundup. So happy to jump in on that right away if you'd like.
Let me ask my opening question first, then we'll jump in. How did you get from being part of Second City, which is a comedy group, in Chicago, to writing The Paleo Thyroid Solution? That's quite a jump.
It was a jump. It was an unexpected jump. And for those that aren't familiar with the Second City in Chicago, it's where pretty much everyone from Saturday Night Live has come from over the years, as well as other comedy schools, but that's the most famous one. And so, you know, that was the intention. I was on the comedy route. Did comedy, moved out to Los Angeles to pursue that. That was just, I still pursue it. I mean, I do audition and I'm on television and film occasionally, but I came out in the year 2000 and I started pursuing film and TV, and I was a leading lady ingenue type in terms of my look. And so, you know, there was an expectation of what that person should look like, right? And if you watch television film, you see that it's a very fit athletic person. It's almost like training as an athlete if you're going to be a leading lady. Now, over the years, things have been a little bit more open-minded. We see more fuller figure women on television, but particularly then, you know, you had to be fit, trim, and slim. So I did and followed what I thought was the right way to go. I had read all of the books, The Zone, you know, diet, this, that, and the other, and I followed conventional wisdom, which we now know is false, at least I'm pretty convinced. And that really gave me hypothyroidism. You can give it to yourself or you can get it in other ways. But for me, I look back and I see how what I did with lifestyle and diet affected my thyroid. The reason I became an expert in this and even wrote a book on it is because I had two bouts of hypothyroidism in 10 years. The second one is called a reverse T3 problem or reverse T3 hypothyroidism. It's a increasing problem among people, yet even more doctors have no idea what it is, how to diagnose it, etc. But twice in 10 years, I had to literally be my own doctor. I had to order my own thyroid hormones. I had to do my own blood work, and I literally fixed myself twice in 10 years. I shouldn't have had to do that. Why did I have to do that? Well, I'm in one of the most major cities in the world with some of the best doctors. I spent over $15,000 of my own money going to famous hormone doctors that wrote books with celebrities. I went here, I went there. Everybody was not only misdiagnosing me with other things that came from a thyroid problem, but then they were just misdiagnosing the thyroid problem to begin with. And 60% of people are undiagnosed. 20 plus million Americans have it, and 200 million people worldwide. It is an epidemic. Part of the reason it's an epidemic is because doctors are still entrenched in old, outdated medical wisdom from 30, 40 years ago. And so they're literally borderline malpractice, in my opinion, absolutely mistreating patients, keeping them sick. And the problem on the other side is that patients are trusting doctors and they're not standing up and saying, wait a minute, you know, they're telling me nothing's wrong, but I know I'm not crazy. And that usually happens with people that go to endocrinologists, who are classically the worst doctors to go to for thyroid health. But, you know, you think because endocrine is in the word of their title that that's the person, because endocrinology makes sense. Well, they're classically the worst people to go see. And so many thyroid patients, whether you are undiagnosed or you've been on medication for years, get the same response. Well, it's not your thyroid. Must be something else. Either it's in your head, you have a closet eating disorder, you need to work out more. This is what patients are told oftentimes. And what it really is if we actually look at the facts in that scenario, the doctor's not taking the right blood work, nor are they assessing the thyroid correctly at all. In fact, they are failing miserably. So I was left in the dust by over 50 doctors in Los Angeles during my two bouts. I saw about 25. I contacted about 25 more to, you know, ask them specific questions before I even went in to see them, because I had learned very quickly that I wasted my time going into doctor after doctor and getting the same idiot responses. So I would pre-call them or, you know, write them letters and say, hey, wondering if you can help me with this. And I was turned down by so many doctors and people who just threw their hands up in the air. I had one doctor look at me after I even explained to her one of the problems and how to fix it, and she threw her hands up in the air and looked at me, and I write about it in the book. She said, oh, Elle, this is too complicated. And I looked at her and I said, really? So medical school wasn't complicated? So organic chemistry problems on the MCATs weren't complicated, but this is complicated? And she didn't even help me find another doctor or help me do anything. So, you know, twice in 10 years, I was left in the dust, bawling my eyes out, as you can imagine. I have a PPO. I'm an educated human being. If this is happening to me, oh, my God, what's happening to somebody in the middle of nowhere, Missouri, or what's happening to someone who's uneducated, right, and who might not know to maybe get second opinion, third opinions, or wouldn't even have the money to do that. So that's really, I accidentally became an expert. Then after I fixed my problem, what happened was, is serendipitously, everywhere I would go, all over the world, someone would mention their thyroid problem to me without me even asking. Like, I'd be on a hike in Hawaii, and I would just be talking to some random woman, and she brought up her thyroid problem, and I'd be like, oh, my God. And I'd end up having to, like, coach these people, or I'd give them my number, I'd help them look at their blood work, I'd help them, you know, get on the right path. And friends would say, you know, you should write a book about this. And I was like, ah, you know, I'm a TV film writer, mostly comedy, and other things. I have a documentary coming out in a bit. But in general, I just was like, ah, you know, maybe one day, but I didn't see an angle there until I actually met Mark Sisson, started working for him, the best-selling author of The Primal Blueprint, and started to adopt that lifestyle. And that's when I started, the lights went off. My medication reduced in half. And right now, as I speak to you, which is not, this is information I'm telling you right now, is not in my book, which is, for the first time in 13 years, I have been on thyroid hormone replacement for 13 years. For the first time, the past 2 months, I have been no thyroid hormone, and my thyroid on the test right now is showing that it's recalibrating outstandingly. Now, that'll have to be in the second edition. Yeah, the story, or this extra, you know, part of the story. So it's really interesting how that worked out. I likely am maybe a better candidate for it to have turned around, because I am convinced that I ignited it myself. Had I known what I know now, I would have followed every protocol in my book back then and really avoided, you know, even probably having to go on thyroid hormone replacement. So essentially, it was really an accident. But at the end of the day, and then I talked with Mark, and when this happened, and I made all these connections and found all these ancestral connections with cortisol and blood glucose and thyroid, I pitched the book to him, and he said, you know, we've been wanting to do a thyroid book. And so, you know, it worked out really well. The timing was right, and it's really aligned with, you know, living the lifestyle and eating strategy that our DNA and genetics are aligned with. And so basically that's kind of the train of events, but it was an accident. And, you know, when first people had suggested to me, hey, you know, you should write a book, and I'd be like, you know, maybe someday, it sort of wasn't a passion. But when I actually got into this and started to live this life and get better and see these changes and see that I started to lose the stubborn weight that I'd gained when I became hypo, because most hypo patients become insulin resistant, which most people don't know. And the only way to reverse that is a high fat, moderate protein, low carb paradigm. And so, you know, once I really like figured all this out, then I was compelled to write it. It was not even a choice. You know, it wasn't even a logical endeavor. It was just pure passion. And I could have written a million pages. You know, there's so much more that probably should be in my book and could be, but it would have been a 700 pager. So that's sort of the progression. And not a lot of comedy in this, but there have been a couple of funny moments. I've had some funny moments, you know, with the ludicrousy and idiocracy of the doctors that I've dealt with, and I share some of those stories in the book, and they're pretty amazing.
I think that's one of the things that's really most amazing is your parts of the book really, really talk about. And one of the things I admire about what you've done is you really are your own lab rat. I mean, you really have done this by trial and error yourself. I mean, you've found that Western medicine is just dumb as a stump when it comes to this. That's my opinion. And they just can't seem to grip on it. So you just dove in full metal jacket and decided, I'm going to figure this out. And you did it by doing it on yourself, which is an amazing way to do it.
Right, and let me say this, though. It is, but you know what? When you are suffering as horribly as I was, and let me, you know, I might sound to some of your listeners like, oh, she sounds like a happy-go-lucky. I am. I was crying every day, a miserable, fat, bloated mess with my hair falling out, blood clots coming out of my vagina. I had a polyp and a fibroid in my uterus. I had been misdiagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome. I was freezing. I had dry, cracked skin. I had swelling everywhere. I had inner itching of the ears. There are 30-plus symptoms I had that I write in the book. I was a mess. Not only that, you are severely depressed, not just because, and here's a misconception. Some people who have never experienced hypothyroidism think that the person who's hypothyroid is depressed because their body's falling apart. You're depressed because you have more T3 receptors in your brain than anywhere else. You literally are depressed, which is why a lot of people get misdiagnosed. So, for example, anyone listening, if you've got any kind of emotional, mental issue, and a bipolar or it's, you know, depression, or you have high cholesterol and issues with that, and your doctor wants to put you on a statin, you need to get the thyroid checked. That's the first place to go. When that's resolved, the other things go away, because you can give a patient who's hypothyroid Prozac. It'll only work for 3 months, but then you have not solved the problem. It will come back. So you know, there's a lot of things out there right off the bat that, you know, are indicative. So I was extremely depressed. I was home all the time. Luckily, I did get to work from home. I spent, you know, every hour of the day researching this. I cried several times every hour. I mean, it was a mess. I know what it's like to feel hopeless and keep going to doctors and having them tell you you're fine or you're crazy, and then you're looking at all these other things. Or then you have now a hormonal issue, which was spawned from the master gland, the thyroid, thyroid's responsible for the production and regulation of sex hormones. So now your sex hormones are off, and you're getting misdiagnosed with cysts and this and infertility, and they're patching it up with hormones and all this other stuff, and they're not even looking at the main cause. Or they're looking at it, but they're looking at it incorrectly. So they're treating it incorrectly, and now you're down the spiral. If hypothyroidism goes untreated, you will get a disease by which you would have not otherwise gotten in a non-hypothyroid state. And there's where the slow death comes in. You will die from this. If it's untreated, you'll die sooner than most people. You will likely die from something you will get that you didn't need to get in the first place. And that is horrific. That is horrific that I was misdiagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now, someone would say, well, maybe that doctor was an idiot. No, because if you looked at the ultrasound, it looked classically like polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now, did I have it? Yes and no. I had it because of my thyroid was screwed up and gave me that problem. Once the thyroid is corrected, I haven't had any issues for the whole 13 years. No, I mean, not one issue, never even had an issue before the hypothyroidism. So here are all these doctors trying to give me birth control pills and trying to patch up the symptom, and they're not looking at the root of the problem. And that was the root of the problem. So I went undiagnosed for 2 years, and had this just been nipped in the bud from that first doctor's visit, when I was like, I'm bloated, I'm gaining weight, I'm working out 2 hours a day, I'm eating 1,000 calories, what the hell's happening? And he said, well, it's not your thyroid. He was wrong. He took the wrong test. Literally took the wrong test. I'd love to go back to that doctor and give him an invoice for the surgery I had to have for the polyp. I'd love to give him all of the invoices for all the other money I spent that he caused by being uninformed, being an uninformed doctor, and they're everywhere. So when you said at the beginning of the show that, you know, most doctors in the Western world don't know what they're doing here, that is true. The where you really have to go to get help with thyroid properly is you really have to go and see a functional medicine MD, a truly integrative MD, or an anti-aging doctor, or a DO. Those are usually the people that are up on the latest. They spend more time in looking at all of the tangential aspects related to thyroid hormone metabolism. You can go to a doctor, get put on thyroid hormone. It's not going to work, though, necessarily, if all of these underlying factors aren't there. If you don't have proper iron storage, if you don't have proper B12 and vitamin D and all of these things that hypo patients are classically low in, then what's the point? You're pummeling yourself with something that is not only going to backfire on you, it will not convert properly, and it can even, you can be hypothyroid on thyroid hormone replacement. That's what people don't realize. You can still remain absolutely, and there's a lot of people out there on Synthroid who've been treated for thyroid for years, and they're still not feeling great, and they think that that's just, oh, well, this is my condition, and therefore I'll have to deal with it. That's not true. Hypothyroidism is totally solvable. So doctors who say, well, you're always going to have to struggle with this because you're hypothyroid, you run from that doctor. That doctor is lying to you and does not know how to treat thyroid hormone. And I have people contacting me every day from all over the world who've been misdiagnosed, taking the wrong tests. They're horrified when they listen to my podcast about it or read my book, and they're like, I can't believe I spent 5 years. But I will say this to everyone out there. Here's the message, and here's the biggest lesson I learned. When that doctor, the first doctor, misdiagnosed me, and I had all these bleeding issues and all this, you know, gynecological stuff, where, by the way, it manifests itself like that with women often. So miscarriages, infertility, et cetera, cysts, polycystic ovarian syndrome, abnormal bleeding. Gynecologically, it often affects women that way initially. And had that first doctor, he just kept putting me on the pill to control the bleeding versus look at why I was bleeding abnormally at the age of 30 with no other prior health problems in my life or a history of it. Didn't even go, huh, that's interesting. Why is she bleeding? I didn't ask the question either. Okay. We trust these doctors. I don't care if you're going to a doctor with a Harvard and a Yale degree. It doesn't matter. When's the last time you got copies of your blood work? Do you know what it means? Just because there's an H or an L next to it, if there's not an H or an L next to it, meaning high or low, just because it's within range doesn't mean it's optimal. I had so many things passed up by doctors that were within range, but at the very bottom, which was a very serious situation, but they didn't catch it. So you have to take the power. You cannot trust any doctor to help you help yourself. You have to help them help you. And part of that is doing the research. I speak with so many patients that are already on thyroid hormone. They're not doing well. Maybe they've been treated for years. And when I ask them, they have no idea how the thyroid works. They have no idea even what the pill is that they're taking and what it's doing in their body. Hey, people, let's smarten up here, right? If you've been diagnosed with a disease, get on it. Do not expect and put that in the hands of someone else. You have to become a partner. So that's why my book is really about empowering people to do that, and the ways in which I do that are showing before and after blood work. How does blood work look like? No other thyroid book out there. The book I wrote was the book I was looking for. You know, yeah, that's great. You can tell me what tests to get. How do I know when I get them back what the hell I'm looking for? How do I know if my doctor might be off? What is it? So I have lots of like before and after examples of blood work. There's a great Q&A in the back of my book with Dr. Gary Forsman, who is an integrative paleo physician and an amazing functional medicine doctor. And our Q&A in the back of that book is really important because he describes from a doctor's standpoint why other doctors are so ignorant, why they don't understand this stuff, why it is that they're still mistreating patients. So, you know, that's really one I wanted to provide for people is, you know, empower them to stand up and help them help themselves with their doctor. You know, I know more than a lot of doctors about thyroid. That's ridiculous to me. I have a philosophy degree, people. This is not how life should work out, right? So why is it?
There's the humor part. There's the humor part right there. You know, there's your humor, because it's just amazing that I'm not saying anything bad about you, but I mean, you've consulted dozens of doctors, people who went to school mm-hmm. who were supposed to kind of know something. And it's just amazing that, you know, you're the person that's writing this book. I mean, again, you are your own lab rat. You really went through the trials and the arduous task of to balance your health and to get to a point now where it is 13 years later. But at least, as you said, you're not on, you know, any thyroid now. That's amazing. Well, I know people who have been on thyroid for 30 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to it. Like, if this doesn't work out for some reason and, you know, my thyroid doesn't fully recalibrate and I may be a candidate to take a little thyroid hormone, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, people are often scared and want to avoid taking thyroid hormone. I just want to say this about that. Thyroid hormone is, you know, you're missing something that your body should be giving you and you're giving it to yourself. That is different than taking some, like, Pfizer drug that's going to, or even a birth control pill, which is going to manipulate what should already be the case, right? So it's not this like false manipulation of a system. It's just giving you what you don't need. But people kind of go, I don't want to go on, quote, medication. And I don't want people to think of it that way, because if you need it, you got to take it. And you can live a wonderful, full life, have pregnancies, healthy, complete, long, full life on thyroid hormone replacement. So there's nothing wrong with it. But of course, if you can get your body to do what it's supposed to do naturally and be in a natural state of health, everybody wants that. And everybody wants the chance at that. And, you know, my book offers the protocol too as well for, you know, here's how to just optimize your thyroid anyway, because everyone listening to this program right now has a thyroid gland unless it was surgically removed. So everybody, and if it was surgically removed, you are taking thyroid hormone replacement, because if you weren't, you'd be dead. You cannot live without a thyroid gland. It is the master gland of the human body. It controls everything from brain function, heart rate, heartbeat, the process of metabolism, how your body burns fat. In fact, our thyroid is the only gland in the body that dispenses a powerful fat-burning hormone, which is the biologically active thyroid hormone called T3. It's also responsible for the regulation and production of all sex hormones and so much more. So what's life going to be like? You know, if you're going to die without a thyroid gland, what do you think is going to happen to you when it's subpar? You're going to live a very slow death. That's what it feels like. That's what I felt like. You just keep falling apart. You're getting old. It's accelerated aging. It's a horrible feeling. You also, because of the brain issues, start to feel very dumb. It's not just the depression. You get dyslexia almost of the mouth. You can't find your words. You can't speak right. You can't read a page. You can't focus. You have major brain fog. And this is all because you don't have enough T3. So it just wreaks havoc. And so not only do I provide protocols for, hey, everybody should learn how to optimize their own thyroid function because it's essential to life and metabolism, but also, here's what you do if you have a thyroid problem and you want to try to turn it around. You know, here's what you do first. Then, if that didn't work, here's what you do if you have to go on thyroid hormone replacement. You know, and then there's a third one for if you have the rare situation where you have a reverse T3 problem, and I think I'm one of only two or three authors that even really get into depth on this subject, then I have also a chapter for that. And that's a very rare situation, so my book is offering shedding some light on something that most doctors don't even know how to treat still at this point, although hopefully some of them are getting a little bit more knowledgeable about it.
Right. I want to redirect. Well, I want to make a comment, then I want to redirect. The book is worth it alone for the Q&A with Gary Forsman. That is a great Q&A. He's a thought leader. You know, it's really, we need more doctors like him, who actually think about what, you know, all this is, the hormone cascade and how it works, and you can't just do this and just can't slap a Band-Aid on it. You really have to figure it out and go and do it. You know, I'm very pro functional medicine, you know, practitioners. It's, and he's a brainiac. That alone is like an amazing chapter.
Absolutely agree.
So now my question is, we're going to back way up. For those that don't know, what is the paleo diet? What is that?
Well, you know, here's the thing. There's so many misconceptions out there about paleo, this, oh, eat like your hunter-gatherers. You know, there's a lot of objections. I'll go through on that, too. You know, we hear a lot of false objections about it. Here's the thing. The paleo-primal ancestral evolutionary way of living is not just a list of foods that you eat from, okay? That is one of the biggest misconceptions because, and I'll explain why. So, as humans, we all have a genetic DNA blueprint, meaning like if you're a paleontologist and you're looking at samples, right, under a microscope, you will be able to tell as a paleontologist, this is a sample from a human, this is a sample from a cow, right? They can analyze the DNA. We all know that every human has the same DNA building blocks, genetic blueprint, and so does a horse. For example, I don't know if you do, but I have never heard of anyone grilling up a ribeye and giving it to a horse. Okay, because horses don't eat meat. Okay, the horses have a native diet. They're not meant to eat meat, right? Same with cows. Now, here's the thing most people don't know, and it's a little tidbit for those. So, you know, in the world of buying meat, people see things like no antibiotics administered or all this kind of stuff with antibiotics. And people are like, why the hell are animals given antibiotics anyway? Like, what's that about? Here's what that's about. when you have a cow and you're feeding it grains to fatten it up, you are feeding it its non-native diet. It's not meant to eat grains. Cows are meant to pasture along on fields of grass and eat that, okay? So you feed them grains. They get sick. Now you have to give them antibiotics. When you have pastured animals that are living the life that they should be living naturally according to their DNA, then they don't get sick. They have immune systems. And, you know, there's not antibiotic runoff into the soil. And, you know, there's green pastures and wonderful sunshine. And this is how that should be. So the same goes for humans. When we go out of that and what's expected of us and our genetics, we get sick. And one of those things often happens with long-term vegans. After a period of time, if they're not careful with certain things, they will be deficient in some arenas. Well, you know, that's because they're choosing to go against their non-native diet. And that's okay. That's a choice. There's nothing wrong with that. But it just will lead to problems, and or you've got to be very careful. So the bottom line is we're not just all designed as omnivores, technically kind of carnivores, to eat, you know, the flesh and fat of animals. But we are actually our bodies prefer to primarily run on fat as its primary fuel source. So most people in this world are sugar burners. They are primarily running on glucose. How do you know if you're a sugar burner? Very easy. First of all, the reason you know most of the world is a sugar burner, all you have to do is turn on TV. Every commercial is for type 2 diabetes. Okay, right? We've seen that. It's all out there. It's a real big problem. That's because we're all going against what is expected of us in terms of carbohydrates, but I'll just make it really simple. How do you know if you're a sugar burner? You are a sugar burner whose primary fuel is glucose if you, A, can't go more than 4, 5, 6, 8 hours without eating and not have a mental breakdown, want to kill somebody, angry, tired, mental focused, agitated, all those hangry type of things we all know that happens when blood sugar gets low. That's a sugar burner. Most people are sugar burners. Right now, as I speak to you, it's in California. It's about 9:45. I've had a cup of bone broth and a slab of butter in there. And I could go 24 hours right now without eating. I would not even have one problem. That's people go, what? That's crazy. No, it's not. It's how we are designed. We are designed to go long periods without food and be sustained and not have these mental drops. Furthermore, when you are on this train where you have to eat every 2-3 hours because your blood glucose keeps dropping, all of those rise and falls ignite the adrenal glands to release cortisol. It's anti-testosterone. It's anti-thyroid. And then you're going to end up tired and hungry and slumpy every couple of hours. Then you need to keep picking up. And it's this horrible hamster wheel that not only affects your life and creates food addictions and hypoglycemia, which, by the way, people are like, oh, I couldn't do paleo because I couldn't do any intermittent fasting because I have hypoglycemia. It's like, well, then you are actually the candidate to do paleo primal living because the only way to turn around hypoglycemia is to get fat adapted. And that usually takes about 21 days to a month. And if you look on the primalblueprint.com, Mark Sisson has a whole 21-day transformation because it really takes about that time for the genetic switches to turn on the fat-burning genes and get things moved around. And you can suffer in the first couple of weeks of that as your brain is sort of getting unaddicted to running primarily on glucose. So where does this factor in? Like a couple areas where this is really interesting. One area is in the terms of athleticism. So back in the day, and everyone's probably heard this, you know, before you do a marathon, you carb up, eat pasta, eat a loaf of bread the night before. That's kind of the classic paradigm. All of those guys that wrote the books on that now have type 2 diabetes. And they have all come out. One in particular is named Timothy Noakes of University of South Africa. And he wrote the end-all book on training and carbo loading. And he now has type 2 diabetes and basically has come out at the peril of a lot of his colleagues who have been really ripping on him for this. But he has come out and put the sword right into his stomach and said, I was wrong. We were all wrong. This is not how you should train. It's not a glucose-dependent thing. This is going to lead to problems. And what we're seeing is a lot of athletes are pre-diabetic. And when I say athletes, fit-looking people. I mean, I had a guy on my show who's also my yoga teacher in Malibu who does all the yoga for P90X, Ted McDonald. He's an adventure racer. He's very fit. He does yoga. He looks great. You would look at him and say, this guy's a pillar of health. What's he doing? Well, he randomly went to go get his blood tested, and they're like, you're pre-diabetic. And he's like, excuse me? How could that possibly be? Well, even though he didn't necessarily exhibit any symptoms of that, our bodies, we're not meant to tap into that insulin and tap our pancreas like we are. And he realized before he even went out for a run every day, he had already ingested like 130 grams of carbohydrates. So even though he didn't get fat or necessarily know what was happening, brewing in his blood system was a major problem. And that's another reason why we can't look at fit people and go, oh God, I would love their body. It's like, yeah, I'd like to see their blood work first. Someone could be skinny fat, and that's what that is. So basically it's moving from being a glucose dependent to back to what our actual genes expect of us and how we're meant to live. Our ancestors did not eat more than 80 carbs a day. We subsisted off of the fat and the meat of animals, and the carbohydrate level was very low. We didn't have modern diseases back then, but the modern diseases started to show up about 10. We've been evolving for 2.5 million years. 10,000 years ago, when we really settled down and started to farm and grains came on the scene, that's the first time in the archaeological record they ever even saw rheumatoid arthritis, ever, was then. And then boom, dairy, 7,000 years ago. Now you've got more problems. And now look at today. And then sugar 200 years ago. And now look at today. You know what I mean? And I talk about the Native Hawaiians in my book a little bit, because when they ate their native diet, they were really strong. The only serious carb they had were either potatoes or taro root. And essentially they were eating fish and fat and coconuts and, you know, all this kind of stuff and pork fat. And then, you know, you introduce cane sugar and you introduce rice into their world and fast food. And there is a severely obesity type 2 diabetes epidemic in Hawaii. And quickly on that note, because this relates to Monsanto and Dow. Monsanto and Dow are ruining the land of Hawaii with their chemicals. This is a known thing that's been going on. Anyone interested in that topic specifically, because it's really a problem in Hawaii, can look into a documentary. That's just a 25-minute documentary that came out called Aina. It's A-I-N-A. And it's on iTunes, and you could probably watch it on YouTube or something. And it's all about Monsanto and Dow, and there's children getting sick and people getting cancer and things like this happening. And there's petitions and protests. And the problem is that in Hawaii, they have less restrictions. For example, in California, the companies have to tell you how much pesticides they're putting out, at what time, when, and for how long. In Hawaii, they could just spray all day long, and they don't have to tell you what they're doing or how much, which seems a little sketchy, doesn't it? So when you look at Monsanto and Dow and what they're doing, they're ruining the earth of Hawaii. They're ruining it with the GMO and the pesticide testing. It's going to take like 10 years of growing hemp to just correct a patch of that land. So and Hawaii is one of my favorite places in the world. It should be everybody's, because it is a pristine ecological paradise that we can't let this happen to. So anyone interested in that topic, look or go to hawaiiseed.org, I believe is another website. And I spoke about it with Gabrielle Reese, the famous volleyball player, on my podcast. It's just a pressing issue in Hawaii, and a lot of the mainland people don't know what's going on there. But if anyone's interested, I just wanted to throw that part out there real quick.
Well, and I think that one of the things about what you're talking about is that, again, Hawaii is really just a microcosm compared to the United States, in the sense of it's just a little tiny example of an isolated place where this is happening rapidly, because it's a little tiny place compared to, the United States. But we're doing the same thing here. We do the same kind of except you say we both live in California, so it's more at least labeled. And we did do a great thing. I don't know if it's happening yet, but I think this was Brown made the bill happen where glyphosate is going to be labeled as a potential carcinogen for California. So far, from what I know, the feds haven't challenged that. And so at least it's going to be labeled that it's a potential carcinogen. Now, we all know, and particularly in this audience, already recognizes that it's just a bad, I can't use any of those words, bad thing. But it is really amazing.
Well, what about Roundup? Roundup is in vaccines, okay, people. The flu shot, it's got Roundup in it, everybody. Yeah, look it up. It's a preservative. I mean, it's awful. The preservatives and things that they're putting even in vaccines is another issue as to why that's leading to either increase in autism, you know, autistic spectrum disorder, or other issues with people. And So, you know, even things like vaccines, you've got to be careful. There's and I would never use Roundup, you know, for anything near your house. I mean, there's definitely better ways.
Well, and I had a great question there about, so back to sort of what we, at the very beginning of the show, we talked about, I had talked about the Clarpyros, a horrible pesticide, and now we're talking about Roundup. How does this affect or add to the potential toxic load when you're trying to rebuild an immune system, when you're trying to balance out your hormones and get your thyroid acting correctly? How does what's in your environment add to that level of stress to the system?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess they're all considered metabolic disruptors, you know, heavy metals, et cetera, because, and just to put it lightly, so for example, let's say you get Lyme disease, okay? Your thyroid in that situation would likely get screwed up because you've got some underlying chronic infection, right? And in that case, sometimes the thyroid will slow down and get subpar because it knows that there's other areas that have to be dealt with and it doesn't want to make you hypermetabolic and throw more fire onto something that's already an inflammation situation. It's trying to save your life in that moment. Okay, that's Lyme disease. You could also get into a horrible car accident and have a very stressful marriage and also have, you know, thyroid issue come into play. But when you talk about Roundup or heavy metals or any of these things, and speaking of heavy metals, the one last test I just did, and I haven't gotten the results yet because, you know, as my thyroid is recalibrating naturally, we're looking at anything that could possibly affect it. And we've already eliminated a lot of other issues. The one thing I never did was a heavy metals test. So that's the thing I just took to see if there's anything we can do to improve there to maybe help along the recalibration of my thyroid. So again, heavy metals, Roundup, or any sort of toxic, it could be a medication too that you're taking. That can be seen as a metabolic disruptor because again, the thyroid or the primal perspective of your body is, hey, we need to hold off here because they're in trouble. You see what I'm saying? And that's really how people have to look at it. It's the same thing with someone who's training for a marathon for the first time in life. Maybe they're like under eating, over exercising. They're going way above their, you know, 75% of their max heart rate, burning sugar. And it to the body, the message is they're running from danger and or they're starving. So we're not going to give it more. We're not going to give this person more of this metabolically active T3 that's a major fat burner because A, they need to find food. We don't want them to burn fat right now. They're starving. Okay, that's how I pretty much got it, by the way. That's euthyroid sick syndrome. So starvation can cause it. And in that scenario too, not only is lowering my thyroid hormones, it's by way of that affecting my female hormones. So it's like they're not the body's saying we're not going to let her get pregnant. We're probably going to decrease her sex drive too. And if she does get pregnant, we're going to give her a miscarriage because she's in no position to support a child right now. That's the body. Your body's trying to save you. You know what I mean? And so that's that moment. And so we have to be very clear about the messages we're giving our thyroid and our body. And those messages come in the form of lifestyle and exercise and food and also chemical pollutants, et cetera. It could even just be mental stress. So poor diet. So those are all metabolic disruptors for that kind of, I mean, and exactly how they affect each cell, well, that would be different for Roundup, different for Lyme disease, different for all of these things that could cause a thyroid problem. But at the end of the day, it's really about the message that's being sent, and the body goes, wait a minute, something's here that shouldn't be here, or something's here screwing up something else, causing an inflammatory response. And because there's inflammation, let's not create more inflammation by giving it a very, it's like basically throwing another log onto the fire with T3. So the thyroid is going to hold back and not throw logs on until you've resolved your issue.
Mm-hmm. And
if that makes any sense.
No, that all makes sense. Well, I'm chuckling about, again, this is not exactly a humor point, but it makes me chuckle, is you are so advocating for what we talk a lot about here, and that is taking charge of your own health.
Oh, yeah.
Really stepping in, because you, I mean, you're now, you know, thyroid free after a mere 13 years. However, you're still always kind of watching and tinkering and monitoring and watching what's going on with your body. And that's what, you know, All About Sherry's Work is about is that very thing of like, we're always kind of looking and checking and maybe doing a vocal print and looking here and looking at this. It's
yeah.
becomes, you become responsible for your own health versus
and
Western medicine.
And it becomes fun.
Yeah.
It's like, get to know you, get to know yourself. You know, actually writing the book saved my life, and I'll tell you why. I had already solved my thyroid problem in terms of my symptoms were all gone except for the weight gain, but then I, of course, started to achieve that by going paleo primal. But even then, so, because I had been in a hypothyroid state twice in 10 years, things can go wrong that no amount of diet or food or thyroid hormone could fix. For example, I had really high levels of excess fibrin in my body, in my blood, which is very troublesome. I had to take systemic enzymes for several months to get that down. That was something that no amount of food and lifestyle would have corrected. I really needed a functional medicine doctor to do that. So by finding a doctor to be on my book, it was a miracle, because then I said, hey, I really think you're awesome. You want to be my doctor now, since I've been my own doctor for a decade? And he was like, yeah. And he did all these functional medicine tests, and we found all of these things that needed to be improved. And so, you know, thank God for that. And then on top of that, I learned so much more about me and my genetics, and how my genetics even were related to certain things I might need to take for life in terms of supplements or things I need to watch out for. I found this whole, I wish I had done this whole process with a functional medicine doctor, you know, 10 years ago, but I don't even know that 10 years ago, because functional medicine doctors still weren't even necessarily testing reverse T3 and knew about some of the stuff in my book. So again, I feel like right now, the doctors that are in the know really know a lot. And 10 years ago, they were just starting to figure stuff out. So right now in time is a great place, a great time in our history to fix thyroid problems, because you can get to the people that do. They're far and few between, but they're there. And before, they weren't even there, even when they were functional medicine doctors. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they really are. As I say, the functional medicine doctors really have started to pop up. And I read a lot. Well, I'm like you. I'm a research rat. You're just a healthier version. You've really dialed it in. But I mean, it's amazing how the functional medicine doctors are starting to shine. Of like, oh no, if you want to really figure something out, you need to find somebody who is a functional medicine doctor, because they really dive in and look.
They spend an hour with you minimum. An hour.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and they're taking tests that other doctors are taking. Let me just say this. So I still got, you know, even though I did my own thyroid management over the past 13 years in terms of my dosing and getting my thyroid hormones, I did that all by myself. No doctor did that for me or helped me with that. But I will say this, like, getting to the point where I would go get physicals every year still from a doctor, you know, the general CBC, I'd get my lipid panel, and every doctor would say, you're doing great. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, Dr. Forsman did a more in-depth lipid panel with more in-depth factors. And you know what? Every doctor in the world would have missed something that could have killed me. The things that Dr. Forsman found, I could have had a heart attack or a stroke at the age of 42. That's unacceptable for someone who's healthy and normal. That's unacceptable. But again, things had gotten out of control during the time I was undiagnosed, during the time I was mistreated. Things build up and got bad, and then you take the thyroid hormone and things start to turn around, but they sometimes can't turn around everything. And that's where, again, just giving someone thyroid hormone is not going to fix their health and their overall picture. People have to stand up. I've had so many disappointing conversations with doctors where I've walked out of the office and cried. They were upsetting. They were confrontational. They were not fun. You know, I've met a lot of doctors that are a-holes. And, you know, oftentimes patients cower under those personalities. They're getting patronized by a doctor and they just cower. And I would just question everyone, why would you don't let that happen to you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Step up. If you're being patronized by your doctor, you run. You run. I had a doctor patronize me when I asked him, this is the same doctor who misdiagnosed me and kept putting me on the pill when I first had problems. And I said, I looked into a few things and I said, you know, can you test my B12? And he laughed at me in a way that was like, that's ridiculous. You know, like, you don't need to get your B12 tested. And in that moment, I was, of course, an emotional wreck, hypothyroid, but I started tearing up. I was so upset that he laughed at me. And I said, you know what? I have a PPO and I'm sorry, but I want you to take the test. Take it. Well, hi, everybody. in his face, I had a severe B12 deficiency. And he laughed at me about that test. You know, he laughed at me. And I had another doctor, and I talk about this in the book. I took a patient to an endocrinologist. Against my will, she wanted to go see an endocrinologist. I went with her because her English skills aren't great, and she doesn't really know about this stuff. So I wanted to help her, and I went in with her. Endocrinologist didn't even look at her, ask her any questions, didn't even look her in the eye. And then when I asked the doctor, I said, hey, I'd really like it if you could take a reverse T3 test for this patient. And she looked at me and goes, yeah, no, we don't do that. That's old school. And I looked at her and I said, well, that's interesting. I just overcame a very serious reverse T3 problem, so I consider it pretty new school. And all I'm asking you is that you test this patient's reverse T3. I don't understand why you wouldn't have a problem testing that. And then she said, fine, but I don't know how to evaluate it. And then I said, I'm sorry, did you just patronize me for asking you to get a test that you now are telling me you don't even know what it is? Do you see how insane that is? Do you see how insane
see?
That is?
We're back to the humor.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And this is where it kills me. Yeah, and this is where it kills me as a philosophy, having a philosophy degree, because that kind of crap logic is insanity making for someone like me. That's like me saying, do not go see the new Star Wars movie. Horrible. And you're like, oh my God, you didn't like it? And I go, nah, I never saw it. Like, what? doctors have egos, and as you read in the Q&A, Dr. Forsman talks about that. You know, you might say, well, why would a doctor have that attitude? Think about it. They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, 10 years of their life. They went to Harvard, and they're thinking, how could I not have learned everything I could have possibly known, right? So this jerk doctor who said that to me, I mean, I was so disappointed. These are the kind of confrontational, shitty conversations no one wants to have. And they're disappointing. And, you know, we walked out of there, and the patient who I was with was just bawling, crying. She's like, she didn't even look me in the eye. She didn't ask me about my symptoms. And I go, exactly, because this doctor just cares about blood work and where something's in a range. They don't care about the person. And think about that ego. Think about that ego of her just going, oh, that's old school. Well, when you say that, that seems like you might know something about it. And then it turns out 2 seconds later, she knows nothing about it. And this is classic. And this is across the board. So if you get to a doctor like that, you run. Don't get patronized under a doctor. You're with the wrong doctor. And, you know, it took a while to learn that, because we tend to just go, they know better. You know, but sometimes they don't. And sometimes you know more than them. And the case is the case in Hawaii. I went to Hawaii. I went to a doctor. I wrote about it in the book. Kind of as an experiment. I wanted to see how bad it was going to be. It was pretty bad. There are a lot of things about the experience that are bad that I put in the book. But one of the things was I told him I was on T3 only, which is very rare, and he didn't understand that. We were talking, and he literally pulled out his Google phone and said, talk to Siri. He goes, Siri, what's the biologically active thyroid hormone? And I looked at him, I go, it's T3. How do you not know that? It's T3. I'll bet you $1 million right now it's T3. Of course it was T3. But this is my question. Why the hell was a doctor treating thyroid patients with thyroid hormone and he does not know offhand what the biologically active thyroid hormone is? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? This is what we're talking about. And this guy is treating patients? That's borderline malpractice to me. He shouldn't have had to Google it. What? You know, if you're treating people actively, why are you Googling something and you're an MD? Almost every doctor out there right now, Dr. Forsman on my book or most functional medicine docs, you just go, hey, what's the biologically active hormone? They're all going to say, it's T3. They know it offhand, you know?
The little
we're dealing with, people.
The little bit that we've been able to cover from your book just makes me want to thoroughly jump in and devour every page, because it's also very compatible with what we do at the Institute. We have something called a Sound Health Portal that people can jump into and be our guest. We provide them with a nutritional evaluation and a muscle evaluation right up front, and then they can go have their thyroid looked at. We look at all the lipid panels, whatever. There's over 100 softwares there that people can get involved with. So if you are excited about Elle's book, which I am, and I don't get excited about much, then look to see what's going on with you. Soundhealthportal.com. And a lot of the software that we've talked about, especially the radiation I think we have thyroid up this month. We make those free to the public, and we are always doing something to provide people the tools and solutions for self-help, which I think is wonderful. Elle's book is doing the same thing.
That's so great that you do that, and I want to point out to everybody a couple things. If you contact me through my website, elruss.com, I send everybody a really full list of free resources, podcasts, places to find the right doctor, the right test to get. You don't even necessarily need to buy my book, although it's, I think, like the cheapest, best thyroid book out there. And I'm not even just being biased. I really do believe that. But you don't even have to buy the book. You can email me. I'll send you a list of things to get you on the right path.
That is,
I don't know
great.
Where that echo is coming from.
Yeah, sorry. I heard that too.
We are way out of time, Richard.
I know. So that's how people contact you. Where do you want people to find your book? And do you work with people one-on-one?
I do. I do life coaching in general, just for people who, you know, want to live a better life and, you know, increase their happiness quotient. But I also do some thyroid coaching and help people. While I'm not a doctor, I can help look at labs and maybe give them a way to educate them and help them on the right path and work with their doctors. And I do that one-on-one. And I always offer a free 15-minute session with everybody, which oftentimes a lot of people just need that. And, you know, I'm happy to do that because I spent a lot of money and time wasted. And I want to make the path from A to Z quick for everybody. So you can contact me, elruss.com. My book is on Amazon and in Barnes & Nobles and elsewhere called The Paleo Thyroid Solution. And then you can hear me every Wednesday on the Primal Blueprint podcast, which is the podcast based on Mark Sisson's best-selling book, The Primal Blueprint, and they are also my publishers. And Mark Sisson is just sort of like the leading, probably one of the biggest celebrities other than Rob Wolf in the paleo ancestral community. And the primalblueprint.com also has a lot of free resources on this lifestyle and, you know, books about that. And then social media, just underscore L Russ or the Paleo Thyroid Solution. And you can find me there. Happy to help anyone who's suffering.
That's great. You have a lot of amazing information available. I highly recommend the Primal Blueprint podcast. I put all these links in the chat over at Blog Talk Radio. But I think that you have a lot of really good interviews on Primal Blueprint podcast. And a lot of them are, you can also find by going to elruss.com. There's a page there. There's a tab up there for shows. And there's a lot of really good information. Because I know that in listening to, I mean, we ran through I can't use any of those words, a bunch of information. and this is one of those shows that I imagine people are going to listen to again because it's just a boatload of information in here. And I'll remind everybody that this show will be rendered in about 20 minutes after we quit. And you'll be able to find it by going to soundhealthoptions.com, then click on the radio tab. And for today, you can click on a new tab, the radio archives, and the last five shows will appear there. And this show will be there in about 15 or 20 minutes. And a great show, Elle. We could definitely go on.
Longer. I could talk for 5 hours, huh?
Yeah. Between the two of us, we could do an easy, 3 to 4 hours. That was really, pedal to the metal. I knew it was going to be, and that was great. Thank you so much. Everybody have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.